Hello and welcome. Images of death and destruction coming from the Israeli military assault on Gaza are now raising concerns of Israel committing war crimes and crimes against humanity. Gaza, which has always been a difficult and desperate place for the 1.5 million Palestinians crowded there, is now a deadly living nightmare with residents trapped against Israeli military might. Israel has been bombarding the tiny congested strip from the air, land and sea, and has even moved towards urban warfare. More than 900 Palestinians have been killed and more than 4,000 injured. And besides conventional weapons, Israel's been using white phosphorus bombs, creating an even greater risk for children, women and other civilians with nowhere to flee. The UN Security Council adopted a resolution 4 days ago calling for an immediate ceasefire, but that's been largely ignored. So today we ask, is Israel committing war crimes in Gaza? And what power does the UN have to act? Remember, you can join our conversation with your questions and comments. Log on to livestation.com/AJE, enter the chat room, and then take part. We also welcome your phone calls on the show. Well, my guest today has been investigating Israel's actions in the occupied Palestinian territories for years. Richard Falk is the UN Special Rapporteur on Human Rights in the Palestinian Territories and one of the world's premier experts in international law. He's a professor emeritus at Princeton University and currently a visiting professor at the University of California. He's joining us today from Santa Barbara in California. Dr. Falk also denied entry into Israel upon arrival last month before the war on Gaza started. He was detained and then expelled. Professor, good to have you with us on the show.
Thank you, Riz, for having me. I'm glad to be given this opportunity.
A pleasure, sir. Now, I have to ask you, if the reports are accurate, the actions of Israel go against the Geneva Conventions, against essentially all international rules of military engagement and human rights. So are these war crimes being committed?
In my view, they do create the basis for investigating war crimes. I mean, war crimes depend on establishing criminal intention. They're clearly flagrant and systematic violations of the Geneva Conventions, and that engages the responsibility of the government of Israel. But in addition to that, they certainly have the appearance of being war crimes and crimes against humanity that engage the individual responsibility of the political leaders and military commanders that have been involved in carrying out these attacks in Gaza.
So, Professor, what about instances where Israel's not allowed the Red Cross access to bombed buildings, where there were survivors in the rubble that could have been saved, or when Israel's been using artillery filled with white phosphorus, an incendiary agent? What's the international law position on this?
Well, each of those questions raises separate issues. The interference with access of the International Committee of the Red Cross certainly is aggravating the violation of the Geneva Conventions to begin with, and beyond that constitutes what I would think to be a distinct war crime, interfering with an international rescue operation undertaken for humanitarian purposes. The reliance on white phosphorus bombs, if that's established as it has been alleged, also would seem to constitute an inhumane weapon that is legally prohibited, especially in a context where civilian casualties can be foreseen.
Now, Professor, a lot of people, of course, our viewers and many people around the world are very much appalled with the pictures they're seeing coming out of Gaza and have their own opinions. Now, one of them came by email from M. Wilson in Scotland in the UK, who sent us an email saying, would it be appropriate to hold the future war crimes trials in Nuremberg to make it clear that no country can get away with these atrocities?
I think it would be appropriate from a legal and moral perspective. I think from a political perspective, it's highly unlikely to happen. War crimes and criminal accountability have been reserved for the losers in wars and the weaker countries and their leaders. And so far, powerful states and their leaders have enjoyed a condition of impunity. And I don't see the political will present at an intergovernmental level to change that. So I think it's very unlikely that there will be a Nuremberg-type tribunal, or even the kind of special tribunal that was established by the Security Council to deal with genocide in Rwanda and the crimes committed by Serbia as former Yugoslavia dissolved. What I do think is possible is the formation of tribunals at the initiative of civil society. This has been done recently in relation to the Iraq War, the climactic event being a Iraq War tribunal held in Istanbul, Turkey, in June of 2005, and creating a important documentary record of the criminality of that experience in Iraq. I think the same thing could and should be done in relation to what is happening in Gaza.
But can you think of any other time in history or any other place where a population that's been blockaded and trapped has been exposed to such severe and intense military assault?
No, I think it is a tragically, virtually unique in that respect. One of the features of this Israeli operation is to deny the civilian population, including women, children, sick, and disabled people, the option of becoming refugees. They're essentially locked within the war zone, and that is unprecedented. It's bad enough to have to choose to be a refugee, but to be denied that desperate option is a sign of how severe and how distorting the Israeli policies have been from a legal and moral perspective.
Isn't there some kind of legal, some kind of legal option or some kind of international legislation that takes into account this, which might register it as crimes, at least crimes against humanity?
I think it could be discussed in that way. As far as I know, there is no sufficient precedent to establish whether this should be treated as a crime against humanity. But I certainly think the argument for doing so is very persuasive, and I would hope that this will happen.
We have a caller on the line from South Africa. Raymond, thanks for being with us. What would you like to ask?
Hello.
Hi, go ahead, Raymond.
Good. My question is, I'm just trying to refer to previous happenings around the world. I think there's so much hullabaloo about this situation. I think the solution is almost straightforward. Because if you compare what happened between Russia and Georgia over South Ossetia, when Georgians found out that the firepower of Russians were much greater than what they could counter or contain, they were the ones that pushed for a resolution. They went for a peace resolution.
Right.
They pushed for it. The Hamas should stop firing rockets. I don't know, everywhere people are talking about Hamas, and damages over there. It is Hamas actually causing this damage. Let them stop firing.
Okay, let's ask the professor. I mean, to what extent, and professor, we've asked a number of people this, but in your opinion, to what extent should Hamas take responsibility for what's happening?
Well, I think I agree with the caller that Hamas is violating international law and acting immorally by firing rockets at civilian targets. Beyond that, and more intense, more significantly, I think they're acting in a highly counterproductive way from a political perspective. I think it's been giving Israel a pretext for the kind of aggressive use of force they've been engaged in. But it should be understood that the firing of rockets had not caused a single Israeli casualty for many months during the temporary ceasefire, and that the ceasefire was disrupted by Israel, not by Hamas, on November 4th when they attacked inside Gaza and killed a series of Palestinians. All along, Hamas has offered Israel a long-term truce, at least 10 years. Israel has ignored these proposals and has continued this massive series of attacks, which come, it should be understood, after an 18-month blockade, denying the population of Gaza food, medicine, and fuel, and leading international observers to think that even prior to the attacks, Gaza was on the edge of collapse.
We have a caller on the line from Sierra Leone. Amin, what would you like to ask?
Go ahead, Amin. My name is Amin.
Mm-hmm. Go on.
If we are speaking of Hamas being a terrorist group or causing a human rights violation in Israel, are these people entitled to be bombed days and nights inside 14 good days through the land, air, and sea while they are fighting for their own land? And Israel is using all types of heavy weapons,
okay,
which is against human rights violation.
Thank you for your point there. I want to get to Professor. One thing that you know is shocking a lot of people, the pictures of Gaza are echoes, even worse in many cases, of those from Lebanon in 2006 when Israel launched attacks ostensibly against Hezbollah. There's a huge civilian population there again, many women, children, and innocent civilians killed. It's happening again here. And for a lot of people, it's unbelievable that this could go on for so long. And I wonder why hasn't the international community stepped in far more firmly?
I think the answer to that important question, unfortunately, has to do with the attitudes of Washington toward Israeli uses of force. The United States government in this period has been an unconditional supporter of whatever Israel does, however politically imprudent and morally and legally objectionable. And it's doing that again. It's a great shame, speaking as an American, that my government would act in this manner under these conditions. But the UN, it is clear, cannot be effective unless its principal members, and particularly the United States, want it to be effective. It's a matter of political will, and where the political will is lacking, the UN doesn't have the independent capability to implement its own resolutions, including, in this case, the ceasefire resolution.
Now, as we go to break, I'm going to just get a comment from a viewer who wrote in from South Africa by email from Cape Town. And as we take this break, just as what he said, Leo Makolo wrote in saying, "What is the United Nations waiting for to take serious sanctions against Israel for not respecting the Geneva Conventions? Can't the world see that the UN has fallen for not being able to use its military or diplomatic rule to maintain the world's peace? The UN should be dissolved." That's his comment. Now, we have to take a short break. More of our discussion in a moment. But just so you know, we're going to take a quick poll about the UN's role in Gaza in the chat room among our viewers watching us on livestation.com. And we'll see the results in the second part of the show. Stay with us. We'll be right back.